Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 4th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we doing?
It's baseball season and the Warriors are winning.
Warriors are winning.
I'm happy.
Warriors are winning with players.
Well, yeah. You know, now
they say they hurt, but I think they're resting.
Yeah, I'm not sure the one fall the one kid took.
Yeah.
Broken thumbs the other stuff.
Yeah. And Mackay, I don't know how long he'll be out. Did they say? I know they said that he was.
He landed flat and he had a back going in.
But they said he had no breaks, tears, or anything else like that. Just really, really sore.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully he'll be there in the second round, if not the first round. Just like that other guy, that kid that shoots the ball all the time.
His brother's short guy. His brother's a hell of a player.
So was his dad.
His dad was a good player. Yeah. Dale was a good player, too.
Our quote this morning comes from Arthur Simpson, author. Quote, Arthur. Okay. Never tell a lie when you can BS your way through. It kind of seems to be apropos during the election season, huh?
Oh, my God. I'm tired of it already.
Ain't nothing yet, huh? Other than just going door to door.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's the funny thing is, I guess the primary's in June, and then in 2 years when my election comes up, mine's less than 2 years away, because with that new voting regimen, so they put all the districts and everything together, we actually vote in March.
Yeah.
For my seat. So I'll be in March.
It's an attempt to make California viable on the national scene. I don't know if it's going to change a heck of a lot.
I don't know either. But we're going to be in March now, and so April, May. So a guy that, goes in and,
Well, yeah, you still got to March, but then you got November, so.
Yeah, a lot of the supervisor races, we're usually done in that primary, and,
Yeah, we'll see what happens this time around.
Yeah, I think there's one race with two people in, but not hearing much of anything.
Nada.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
But, it's not like there's not a lot of other backfilling into those time slots.
Exactly. So.
Too much fun. Too much fun. When this is your second time through, which you're not running?
It'd be my second election.
Where you're not running.
How
things change in the tenor and the effectiveness, with Ryan on the state board as well as being running.
Yeah.
With Virginia being on the state board.
Yeah.
Different board.
Yeah.
And running. I would think that it could be a really slow time, or we could have a lot of either 3-0 votes and a lot of stuff just kind of pumping through real fast, not a lot of discussion because time is now a critical resource.
Yeah, and the other thing is you try to do is I don't think either Ryan or Virginia do it, but you tend to seem to want to work harder. Just like a boxer, that last round, you want to come out and throw all your punches and stuff like that.
Obviously, your last year of your bonus or your contract, you're looking for the signing bonus for the next 3 or 4 year term.
Yeah, I always look at it that way. The first 3 years, try to knock the people out, and they'll remember what you did. I think besides that, because I think we're pretty fortunate because both of them work real hard year round, so that works out. And Ryan does a good job, and Virginia does a good job. So
what are you hearing out in the hinterlands about the general economic, not any one industry specific, but just overall? Are you kind of sensing that there's a little bit of enthusiasm now?
I think there's a little bit. I think there's a little bit of because of marijuana legalization, the level of enforcement that might be seen this season.
Because that's still on the upswing, isn't it? Getting things geared up, the code enforcement and all that.
Yeah, that's all getting geared up, but the price of marijuana has gone down this year, where historically it had been climbing, and I think you always have to remember it's a commodity. So talk to somebody in the timber business, talk to somebody in the dairy business, and they'll tell you.
How about pork bellies and futures? I mean, it's the same stuff.
It's the same. I mean, I was going to throw in, I mean, with what we have here and cattle, I mean, it fluctuates 30, 40, 50%. Milk right now, organic milk is really tight for the guys, and that's everybody went organic. I think we have everybody's organic, or there's just one dairy that isn't organic, but we've gone all organic up here. And now the price has dropped, and so it's a tough road to hoe for these guys right now. But cyclical, it should go back up. So as these things go along,
I saw a presentation that the CAO made in front of a group I was at, and you know how I tend to be calm and reserved.
Yeah.
So I lobbed my grenade in and said, "So how are the money's pacing versus what the budget was anticipating?" Boy, you know, I've not really ever had the ability to quiet a room of 25 people before, but it was like cricket time. It was really interesting because I think it must have been one of those that was on everybody's minds. What are you sensing? Are the revenues coming in the way that everybody was hoping?
They're starting to flow now. We kept the levels, but we also had that part where we had people that existing people paid for grows that they had, but they may not have grown that much this year. So we're trying to work with them. So the track structure is, if we think we're going to balance our budget off of cannabis, I think we're screwed. Do I think it can be an offset just like all the other industries we have? I think that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to be an additional to all of our other revenue sources.
Is it pacing where everybody thought that it would be, though?
I think it's a little bit behind as we make our adjustments, but I think it's going to get there because people are coming into the fold, and we're finding some people are dropping out, but some new people are coming in.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, there was an article about 4 or 5 days ago now. You know, I know retail is different than manufacturing. Okay. Marijuana is taxed at retail, right?
Yes.
Okay. The figure that was thrown out by the one that was in Eureka, it was on the front page, was $200,000 in sales tax?
Yeah,
I'm still wrestling with that one in my head going, okay, now if I do the numbers and just because I don't go that deep, I round it off, okay, let's say 10% instead of
2 million. Yeah.
In 3 months. Okay, that's 70 grand worth of stuff a week. Seems to me like there'd be a lot of foot traffic associated with that, or we would have big old trucks pulling up.
Well, I think that's anticipated too, because you have to understand there's going to be, I don't know how many. I noticed that the city council meeting the other day.
Entertaining two others.
Well, they were entertaining not having a limit because they had 20 people in the pipeline, is the way I understood it. And
yeah, and then all of a sudden 20 pops up and you go,
and they weren't going to limit it. So because I know there's one opening this weekend at the Bank of America building, the old Bank of America building. And,
right.
And that's Mary Ellen at Humboldt Patient Resource, which has got I don't know how you can vet somebody that has a pretty good track record in Arcata. Mary Ellen does a good job over there. They run a good, you don't hear a lot of things about it. And I know they look to her for guidance on this. But I know you have one next to Rocky's Barbershop, I love Rocky. He says, man, I didn't know all these people smoked dope. Or cannabis, excuse me. But anyway, he says he sees all these people coming in and out that he knows. He says, I didn't know that. I said, well, they're probably picking it up for a present. But then I think there's a couple more going on 4th Street. And then there's going to be some manufacturing.
Manufacturing is kind of a different critter.
Yeah.
And the processing is different.
Yeah.
The fear that I've had, you've got feet kind of in both, is bars are not unlimited. They're kind of in district. They try to keep them in districts a little. Okay, marijuana, everybody says, don't worry about it. I have a free market. Oh, now, wait a minute. No, it's not a you zone it anywhere you want to, but that was kind of what the city council members individually were saying.
Yeah, because like one of
having like Bar Row or
because I think one of them mentioned the fact that there's 52 places to buy alcohol, so you should be able to buy marijuana anywhere. And I'm going, man, I said some of these are corner grocery stores, some of these are bigger grocery stores. There's a little more to it, but in turn, I don't know. I had somebody says, well, why don't you just have Laurie Ajax, who's head of the cannabis division of one of the cannabis divisions, state of California, overseeing all this. But one of the things was if they have a liquor license, they could sell cannabis.
A thought or that's the rule?
No, that was just a thought. And my thing is before you start handing these licenses out, make sure the restrictions on there that if they break the law twice, they could lose that license. Don't just, because we've got to put that restriction on there if they do this, that. Basically sell unlicensed through the back door because, as of the 1st of January, you can only sell product that comes from a licensed farm because that way it's been tested. But they didn't stop any of the dispensaries from backlogging and bringing in hundreds or thousands of pounds for the big ones just to store it and so they could sell it. So it's non-state.
It's not clear yet, is it?
Yeah, it's a little murky on that side. And then in L.A., they have over 1,800 gray market dispensaries. And so
okay,
if you're
now
really
what is that?
That's just guys that have got a dispensary open and Los Angeles isn't doing much about it.
Oh, really?
L.A. County's really not. It just they don't have enough time or people to bust down on them. I mean, that's actually going to be put on the state eventually to probably bring those people into the fold or
the compliance
close them down. Yeah, the compliance. So we have those people. So we have a lot of people growing cannabis, and the pipeline's going to get pretty slowed down if you don't have a lot of dispensaries. Now, I always think opening a lot of dispensaries in Humboldt County is like building a coal factory in Newcastle. But, I mean, they've got a lot of coal. I think they could,
Right.
But I just think there's going to have to be a bigger element. And then I talked to somebody the other day that they'd talked to somebody in Los Angeles County that was permitting 1 million square feet of lit. It's going to be lit, marijuana, which means I'll get 5-6 crops a year. They were producing something.
Okay.
They were producing like something 2,000 pounds of product a day to press to make into oils or whatever they do. And I'm just hearing these numbers, and I'm going, how much marijuana is consumed? I heard.
Not only that.
I keep hearing numbers.
How big of a target does it have to be before the feds say, okay,
yeah,
that's enough?
Yeah.
And then
once they can't sell it here, it's going to end up somewhere.
Yeah. Right. So, now, if it's going internationally, okay, fine. I guess that's.
I think
if it crosses the state line, that's a different ballgame.
Good, bad, or indifferent, Humboldt has a reputation, a name for having quality products. So I keep thinking that, Merced outsells Napa, I hear 3-1 on wine, but Napa has more cash flow from it because they have a finer product. So, and I don't see probably for the connoisseur, I don't see it being much different from, whiskey, you can say whiskey's whiskey, but then if that was the case, everybody'd drink Four Roses. So
yeah, there's still something magical about Lynchburg too.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But as far as just trying to get everything all dialed in, I can't imagine what yours are in the county having to wrestle with, let alone the state, let alone the Fed, just because everything's so upside down with this stuff. But I, getting back to the budget concern, I would think a zero budget on it, and everything that comes in goes in the general fund, and thank you very much. No reliance.
There are some things that need to be done. I think there are some.
Other than code enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one part. Yeah, we'll continue when we come back.
You bet.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Rex, the challenge I would think with this or with anything when you're on the cutting edge of it, it could be, I suppose, alcohol after prohibition also, or legalization of various things, is that nothing is sure yet. The market isn't sure. The interpretations of the laws aren't sure. The courts aren't sure. Everything is kind of up in the air. It's starting to settle.
No different from prohibition. It was really, really tough in prohibition. It said, was this against, can they do this?
Except it was legal before, and then it became legal again. So the structure.
But you had that gap. You had that gap,
exactly.
And the rules changed.
Yeah.
And when the rules changed, I mean, the reason prohibition started was the temperance leagues, and I mean, there was a push.
Right.
And when it came back, those people still had a voice, but now they were going to have a voice in regulating it rather than banning it.
Well, yeah, you had FDA and a bunch of things like that that
come
in, but the FDA hasn't even put a toe in the pool yet because first word is federal.
CDFA, the California version, has,
right.
And I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel. We were the first with medical marijuana, but then we kind of kicked the rock down the road for quite a while and watched everybody else get legal around us, but I think we're going to eventually see there's going to be a best market,
best practices.
Yeah, best practices thing. And we're all going to cherry pick off of that. But until then, everybody keeps wanting to reinvent the wheel. And we have the state's coming down with some of these guys that it's at the end of the day, it's just an agricultural product, but they want them to weigh the product, hanging. I mean, they're putting a lot of, there's a lot of work going into it, and much like you said, they've never had to do much regulatory compliance, and it's there's a lot of paperwork. There's a
understand the growers,
a lot of these farms have 6 or 8 employees. You have state comp, you have insurance. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff you have to mind by. You've got to have your ADA bathrooms. It's been a extreme learning curve for a lot of guys because it's just been a
renegade.
I hate to call it hobby because these guys work really, some of these guys work really hard to.
Well, a lot of guys work hard on their race cars to run it at the
exactly.
Acres, so.
You're exactly right. So, but the thing is, now they've got a regulatory effort that they have to follow it, and some are going full bore. And I really think what's going to happen is these ones that are going full bore and getting their local and state permits and everything else, it's going to be, they're going to start eating their own because they're going to want to know why the guy down the street isn't having to do all the stuff that he's doing, and then he's going out and selling it black market or wherever the case
may be.
Yeah,
but a lot of industries are doing that, ain't right? Look at the hotel industry.
No, hotel.
There's a lot of those guys. Fine.
Yeah. Well, that's
part of the settling out period.
I've got my nephew was telling me that he was at a packaging thing, and he was talking about there was a guy in Tennessee that sold 1.8 million moonshine jars a year to a couple distributors. And they didn't go to liquor. I mean, these were just moonshine jars.
Right.
And I'm going, good. 1.8 million quart jars of moonshine. There's a lot of people that still make in the moonshine. And then you start talking to people and they talk about, there's a lot of people that make beer, but there's a lot of people that make liquor at home too, have little mini stills, and they're making their own, here, try this and everything else. And so with this legalization that the state of California's populace voted in, these guys can start growing 6 plants. And I don't know if you're going to find these. I know they've got little closet growing things where you just one light and you can grow your plants in a closet and things. I see people doing that, and that's going to affect the market a little bit. But
yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess my biggest concern is that the economic viability of our area, there's more reliance on it, or more discussion about reliance on it is probably more accurate.
Evolved.
And it's like, you know, guys, we don't know yet. I mean, it would be like banking on the Bay being developed. Yeah, okay, there's pressure.
Boy,
there's interest
concept
there. But wait until you have more information before you start doing.
Well, I think, and as it evolves, we evolve pretty well. But I was just talking to a guy the other day. He says, you know something? I've hired 8 employees for this year to log. I mean, to log, because he fought like hell to get enough staff last year. He says, I'm getting a lot of young guys coming in looking for work who might have been doing something else. I don't think they might have. I don't know, or they thought they could go do something. But they're not even going. They're gonna go out there and make that steady income, because, you know, a lot of those guys, their income is based on what the product sells for at the end of the year, and then they get a percentage. Doesn't sell very much. Percentage wasn't as much. And so with the price drop last year, I don't know if the guy says, man, why don't I just go out and get some benefits, some Social Security,
and a regular paycheck,
yeah, and go home every night. So I'll be at long hours and rough work. But, I mean, I try to tell people, especially new people, this community was built on timber and fishing. We didn't, I mean,
first long hours, hard work, yeah.
And we still have that. That's what we are best known for, I think, personally.
Well, other
we got
than
guys,
government.
You know, guys that want to work, you know.
So as you are looking at the permitting process, the codes, the cleaning up, all that stuff, is it like a mini general plan? Or are things kind of coming together a little bit quicker?
Well, I say the same thing every time. McGuire and Woods, when they did this and brought this forward, said this would be changing for 10 years as it moved around. You know, the spheres of influence. We found out, oh, my God, you know, you can't do that. You know, instead of doing 1 acre, we went to 5 acres. We went to prime ag. We went and we tried to get them out of the woods, giving them a bonus. You can have a little bit more if you get out of the woods and restore where you were illegally, where you were diverting water and restore that, we'll give you a little bit more bonus and come into a proper site. And so they're coming in and renting land or buying new land and things like that. These were all things we thought were good. And in most places, 80% of the time, 90% of the time, it is good. We just have those ones that fall in that are impacting neighbors. And nowhere in this did we ever, what we were trying to do was weaken the impacts on the environment and the people. And in some places, it's the environment part, but we've impacted people, and that was never in anybody's plan. And I think that's probably the biggest crossroad we face.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone, and you thought you knew Rex.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Got a little something going on this evening that folks might be interested in.
Probably one of my unfavorite events. we walk in women's shoes, and it's something this Soroptimist has put together, and we started out at the Warfinger, and we've morphed into the Adorney because the crowd gets so big. I think the doors open at 5. I think the show starts at 6. There's beverages and hors d'oeuvres, and the Soroptimists, who do such a great job. I mean, they, you know, doing stuff for the community. They really put a lot of effort into this, and
I. It's really kind of taken off on its own.
It has, and it was kind of funny. Dale Warmoth and I talk about, you know, the Wiz. We talk about when it first started. Everybody rolled up their pant legs and walked in high heels, and then we started wearing costumes, and we took it. And
pushing the limit might be a good.
Yeah, and I've caught hell a few times because one time I dressed up as a. In high heels as a hunter, and I took a shotgun and I took the firing pin out of it, but that fired up a few people, so I had to apologize for that. And sometimes I think the people that complained would complain anyway with me. But I just it's what we have to remember when we do it, and the disclaimer is it's we dress up, we make fun of ourselves, and if you can't laugh at yourself, you can't laugh at anybody else. And have a really good time, and I mean, the money goes to, and over the years they've raised well over $100,000, I think, and it goes to domestic violence, it goes to the breast health project, it goes to it's gone to some youth projects, basically focused on female women based issues that Soroptimist stands for, and would like to help out. The money stays local. It's a really fun time, and so this year I don't want to say too much, but I do have my sponsors is Tanya at Promises in Henderson Center has gone overboard making sure that my costume is
unapropos
would be more appointing. And Denise at Blossoms is helping me out with flowers, so we're upping our game a little bit more this year. But it's a fun event. But I, at the end of the event, I think what we have to realize is what Soroptimist does and how much they give to the community. And these are held all over the country, and it's just a fun way for everybody else to laugh at us too. Not that I don't get enough of that already. And have a good time and raise some serious money for some great causes that are taking place.
If folks don't have tickets, can they just kind of show up?
There'll be tickets at the door, and there'll be 20 of your local community members. In the past, we've had Dave Tyson, Jimmy Smith. I mean, some of the guys we've got. You know, Dale's walked almost every year. He's missed a couple, and I'm the one holdout that's walked every year, I guess. So, and every year I say I've done this long enough, I can drop out now, and I don't do it. But it's fun, and it's a great community event,
And if you laugh, why not?
You gotta laugh.
Yeah,
you gotta have some fun.
At the Adorney tonight, starting at 5.
Yep.
And then the show at 6.
The show's at 6, and it's a ball. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, there's another clue. All right. Well, you figure it all out, put it all together, see how close you can get. See everybody tomorrow.